We just got a really big clue yesterday about whether the Strait of Hormuz is going to be reopened anytime in our near future. And if you want to know what that's going to do to the gold and silver prices, well, welcome on in. Well, hello there, my friends. Chris Marcus here with you for Arcade Economics on a Friday, and going to just go through what you could expect next in the gold and silver markets. Been a fascinating 2 months ever since that war started. Yes, amazingly, we are coming up on 2 months. Tragic part is that, at least from everything that I'm seeing, it does not seem any closer to being resolved. And I don't know how many people saw this yesterday, but the big news, in my opinion, was the Israeli defense minister came out and basically said that they're getting ready for more deadly strikes on Iran, which goes back to what I've mentioned over these past 2 months as I've taking a lot of time to learn more about the dynamics of the situation. And again, I'll be sensitive in how I say this, but just that I thought it was possible to see a deal between the US and Iran. Continued to find it more difficult to see a deal between Israel and Iran for reasons that we won't go back into today. And either case, here we are 2 months later, and that's pretty much what has happened. We've seen that get in the way of a resolution a couple times now. So we'll leave that aside, but just how is that going to affect the precious metals? What can you realistically expect to see? And let's break this into two buckets, because if you're a trader and you're flipping things in short-term trading, we'll actually address what I think is a realistic expectation there. Again, factor in with all these. Now, I don't think it's likely that they'll say out of left field tomorrow or next week, oh, well, we found a deal and everything is resolved yet. I guess in a situation like this, you would like to think at some point, someday, even if that's far off, that there would be a deal. And there's always that chance that when things don't look particularly promising, sometimes something happens. Not the easiest thing to price. It's kind of like, when was silver going to pop? As many of you know, there were some of us who sat there waiting for, I guess it, for me it was 16 years, or some people who waited 45 years and got a bunch of false starts here and there along the way. So something like that can happen. I don't see that being likely right now, and we'll just go based on what seems most likely and how that effects if you're trading or flipping gold and silver, and also if you're a long-term stacker. Where actually, let's start with bucket number two, which I think is what most of the people watching this, the bucket that they happen to fall into. From a long-term perspective, I mean, again, if you have a piece of metal and it's sitting somewhere, well, probably going to be sitting there tomorrow, the week after that. Not much is changing. We're talking about the dollar valuation of that. And given what is happening here, where, again, if we're assuming that Strait remains closed longer than one would expect, we're seeing the damage pile up more so internationally than in the U.S. so far. I think that's going to have a big impact on global growth. I'm still of the school of thought that, similar to how everything looked fine in early, you know, probably January of 2020, right as COVID was happening, but had not been priced in, a couple months later, it's dominating the entire world, and you saw quite a reaction in the stock market. I think that's what we're headed towards. Hard to see based on, I mean, you can read about the supply chains breaking down, products becoming unavailable. Of course, you can also read about significant price increases in multiple stages of supply chains. So one thing that you can count on is you're going to see higher prices. I think a lot of people are already seeing that. But yeah, also just the outright disruptions. And again, I think you were going to see that even if the Strait got open yesterday. let alone my understanding of such matters is that it's kind of like at an accelerating nonlinear pace where now each incremental hour a day is more costly than an hour a day a week or a month ago. So in that scenario, again, street stays closed longer, conflict goes on longer, you're going to see oil. Well, theoretically, I mean, I'm surprised that it's still nowhere near where it was a couple weeks ago. I don't know if that's because there's at least a ceasefire, so there hasn't been as much actual fighting and missile dropping. I'm not sure. I also think people have very different views on what's going on there, and I've noticed that through some conversations recently with some people I respect. With some people on Twitter that I don't know if their phrasing of their opinion come out guns blazing that I follow quite as closely, but I think similar to with the pricing, you know, you have a lot of things happening where I don't know, maybe my assessment of this entire situation, maybe I'm the one who's wrong. I account for that possibility. I don't think that's the case, and I like to do my homework thoroughly so that I can have at least an educated guess at minimum that is not the case. But in either case, I mean, I think there's very different perceptions. You have events playing out, and then two people look at it and come away with a very different takeaway of what just happened, let alone what's going to happen, let alone how the financial markets will react to all of that. And I think that's factored into the gold and silver pricing, because it's at the end of the day, we're talking about oil going up, more inflation, which is what gold and silver, one of the things they protect against, and yet we're seeing gold and silver sell off. And that's largely because as oil goes up, that's gonna hurt growth, a deflationary effect. And gold and silver have been selling off in response to that and a handful of other things. Although at the end of the day, if we're gonna have growth slow down and Bessent's plan to address the debt was to grow our way out of it, which I would still say is long ago become mathematically impossible, but at least going along that premise, well, now we're gonna have growth slow. But I did hear Luke Groman made a great point that war can be quite stimulative, because we already see Trump administration looking to increase military budget by 50% next year. But here's the thing, the money is still gonna get spent. If growth starts slowing, what do you think the Fed, which looks like it's closer to having Kevin Warsh in charge now, you know, who was going through the confirmation process this week, said there's not an explicit deal with Trump that he has to lower interest rates. I can believe that's true. I think he'll still end up lowering interest rates, or at least want to. Will he do it in the face of rising inflation? That will be one of the more theatrical things to watch in the second half of 2026. But it's hard to see that oil's going to go up, growth is going to slow, and there's not going to be massive stimulus, both fiscally and monetarily. I mean, at the end of the day, you have that dynamic where if it becomes an issue funding these things, does the Fed stand aside and let things collapse, or are they going to print whatever is necessary to keep the thing propped up? I think it's going to be that they'll print whatever is necessary. Even if they don't, though, I mean, if you start defaulting on debt, where does that leave gold and silver? And this is pretty much the same general premise that I formed very quickly when I got into the precious metals back in 2009, and that part seemed really clear. Here we are 17 years later, it seems just as clear, except now we're seeing it unfold. So given the fact if you're gonna have higher prices, which would create even more of a benefit to owning precious metals, you have a lot more money printed. I mean, in the end, there's the cost of this war. So more money is spent, more debt, more printed money. I think in the longer term, you're going to have a higher gold and silver price than you otherwise would have. So let's say there was no Iran. If you look at what do you think gold and silver would be priced at 5 years from now, and you say in the current scenario, and then also if this war never happened, I think in the current scenario, you're going to end up having a longer term higher gold and silver price than you otherwise would have. But the path to get there is going to not be straight. Probably wasn't meant going to be straight line in either case, but because of that oil impact, the growth impact, and the fact that it seems like we are going to continue down the current path, which would lead to higher oil, more shortages, more economic shock, we think we're having an incredibly high probability of getting to something that will be of a shock, or I don't know, that shock not as in surprise, but just of a magnitude of a Lehman or COVID-like level. And anyway, that will put pressure on the metals in the shorter term. We've already seen that. There's a good chance that we're going to continue to see that. With that said, again, if you remember when banks failed in 2023, or the day the NASDAQ, or not the NASDAQ, the Nikkei was down because of their carry trade. What was it down? 12% or was it that much? Forget how much it was down, but there was that day where it was down quite a lot. Those are the things that actually get people buying physical metal. And well, when these events first hit the tape, you often see that liquidation sell-off. Let a little time pass and see where that goes. I would say perhaps somewhat similar to the way I remember back when silver, you know, we had it introduced as a potential critical mineral earlier last year, then when it was finally confirmed, which I believe was maybe late August or September. I remember someone was, the day it was confirmed, I think silver was down, and someone was saying, okay, silver's down. They just confirmed it. And I think what I wrote in the column back then was that it seems like one of those things where I don't know that the rest of the world is sitting there as focused on it as you or I might be, but wait until events play out. And then we started seeing strategic stockpiles. We started seeing other events that were predicated upon that begin to play out. And a couple months later, you had $121 silver. So I do think there will be some point at which this current pattern breaks, where, all right, let's say oil's shooting up. Yeah, you're going to see some sell-off in the metals, although do we see some snapback at some point, similar to another concept I've mentioned, where right now if you have inflation come in hotter than expected, the metals sell off because the thinking is that, well, the Fed's going to be less likely to cut interest rates. Yet, do we get to a point where if inflation is soaring again, like it was in 2021, people stop giving a shit what the Fed's going to do and think, wow, there's a little bit of a problem here. So all these things, you know, again, there's a lot of events that could seem overdue that could pop up at any time and change the trajectory. Yet, so you keep an eye out for those. Although, again, just with the more dominant theme, you could expect to see some more pressure on gold and silver in the near term. I saw someone calling for $64 silver by next Monday. I don't know if I see that happening. Although, again, we'll see how things go this weekend. That was concerning to me, hearing the Israeli defense minister. I mean, it seems the phrasing, and I'll put that tweet up so you can see it, it was kind of similar to what Trump was saying about bombing them back to the Stone Age. That, I don't know if that, I'm extrapolating a little bit, but that was the feeling I got from reading it. I don't know the exact timing on when such a thing could occur. I've heard that, saw somewhere that Israel was waiting to get the U.S.'s go-ahead on that. There's a whole other discussion. Who's calling the shots? Who's doing what? Who's leading the action? Who's listening? Who's following? But in either case, you know, we could wake up tomorrow and see that there's been heavy military action. Or maybe we make it through the weekend and nothing happens. So again, there are some It's not going to be, and I know people are like, well, just tell me what's going to happen, where the price is going to be. Well, it depends on a lot of inputs. And here's the thing, sometimes you can't even know the inputs, and then the price still goes the opposite direction because, I don't know, maybe our assessment is correct, or maybe other people just don't understand it. That's why it's funny, back when I was an option trader, we had to actually log 100 hours of poker training and playing because of the decision making, very similar, where they're not, that's the nature of the game. There's not as many absolutes as people might like. You might have your pocket aces, you go all in, but the cards fall a different way. Yet still, if you have a good understanding of the probability distribution, and then you account properly for some of the different, whether they're black swans or low probability or high probability events, you don't know how all of them are gonna go, but if you do a good job of mixing them all together, then that's how you get to become the casino where it doesn't matter whether this happens or whether that happens, because you have the math in your favor. And at least as I get a little bit older, I think more about that, where a lot of things that happen that seem unexpected or unfortunate, yet if you program into your model that, all right, well, I'll expect those types of things to occur, you don't have to know exactly where they are, but if you start getting a good layout of the different distribution possibilities, you don't necessarily have to get it right. If you're more right than the guy you're trading against more often, and you're also bet sizing properly, that goes a long way. So anyway, with that said, I do expect that the strait is not going to be open anytime soon. That will have an impact on the oil market, which will have an impact on gold and silver. So if you're trading, watch out for further downside. If you're stacking, and again, I like buying silver at $20 better than buying silver at $80. Yet if I'm thinking I will have an allocation of something I want to be able to leave safely for the next 10 or 20 years, I don't have an issue buying silver at $80. And again, that's all going to depend on what is right for any individual person, but hopefully these are some thoughts to think about that are at least helpful. A lot of different ways things can go, yet also some clues out there that can give you an idea of what may be likely. So at least that's my thoughts heading into the weekend. And before we wrap up, would again just like to thank Kuya Silver, was a longtime sponsor of our show quite a while back, now a sponsor again, and it's nice. They are finally in production at a good time, because I know silver well off of the $121 high. Although, keep in mind, these silver companies were, if you told them last year they would have been selling silver at $40 or $50, that would have seemed like Christmas early to many mining executives. And even if we're not at $120, still at $80, that is extremely good times for the mining companies, similar with the gold price. I know Michael Oliver is out there saying $300 to $500 silver. I'm not sure if he's talking about this year, although I did contact him and we set up a call with Michael for late May. So that's a good reason to hit the subscribe button and the notification bell. And I know he's quite a popular technical analyst. Really good man, too. Always enjoy my conversations with him. And just, back to Kuya Silver before we wrap up here. Kuya, all of the mining companies, at $80 silver, life is good. At silver went down to $60 or $50, life is still very good. And you also have the case, especially with the premium in Shanghai still elevated, China's imports of silver soaring in March. So there's still the tightness, and you're in a range where anywhere close to where the silver price is now, good for the mining companies. Then you do have that upside in case things get further out of control, or anything in terms of the war and the stuff we just talked about there gets further out of control. So good times to have a silver or gold mine. And again, that's one of the things Kuya has in production, and also just supersized their drilling program. And we'll have David Stein of Kuya Silver back on in the next couple of weeks. It's been interesting because he's the one that was contacted by solar panel manufacturers in both India and China trying to buy his production at that increased premium that we're seeing in China. So he's seeing some interesting things on the front line. You can find out more about Kuya Silver at kuyasilver.com or by clicking on this video that we recorded with David Stein just about a week or two ago, where we go in depth into some of the dynamics behind the scenes of the silver market that I don't know that are easily found elsewhere, but you can find it here and click on this one now.